Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
حي للفلان حي للفلان. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. So we will make the first two rakat sunnah. Alhamdulillah.
أشهد أن محمدًا رسول الله. حي للصلاة حي للصلاة. حي للفلان حي للفلان. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
Muted.
الحمد لله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يدعي الله فلا مدل الله ومن يدل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد. And that is the praises for Allah alone. We ask Him for help. And we ask Him for forgiveness for our sins. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own souls and from our own actions. And whosoever Allah guides, never will he or she go astray. And whosoever goes astray, then for him or her, there is no guidance besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I bear witness, dear people, and openly testify that there is no God but Allah. And I bear witness and openly testify that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. The prayers and the peace be on him. And everything of excellence indigenous to this salutation follows. So to all of you, I wish you a wonderful Jumu'ah Mubarak. And we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of you are doing well. We are always pleased to enjoy your company on this day. May Allah continue to bless all of you and grant you the successes that you strive for. Alhamdulillah. So, today, we like to encourage all of us to remember Allah much. And I think that if we employ that principle in our lives, we will realize a greater success and a greater favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, he says in this Quran, and right now we're speaking from the 7th chapter of the Quran, the 50th verse. So it says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَنْ أَفِيدُوا عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ أَوْ مِمَّا رَزَقْنَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى كافرين. صدق الله العظيم. And surely Allah has spoken the truth. And we have, as a translation, Yusuf Ali, it says, the companions of the fire will call to the companions of the guard, pour down to us water or anything that Allah does provide for your sustenance. They will say, both these things has Allah forbidden for those who rejected him. Right? So yeah, we see the companions of the garden refusing to share with the companions of hell, the fire, right? The benefit that they have earned. So there was a time, dear people, in this country, there was a time in human history, really, when existed individuals who were called seers. They were not really called prophets, but they were called seers. They were people who could digest scriptural knowledge and peer into the future as to what it would be like. You know, what was really coming, what was on the horizon. I have no doubt in my mind that Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahim Allahu Alayhi, is certainly one of those individuals. He had a blessed ability to read into the language of scripture, dear people, enough to see what was forecasted for up ahead. And armed with that kind of information, you know, people could make movements based upon a surety, right? Yeah, they could, they didn't have to guess about what was unfolding. They could read into the language of things and tell you what was unfolding and what you could expect. It was more like a navigational system you could depend upon to avoid the traffic jam up ahead, if you understand what I mean. And they will be able to avoid the log jam as well as those who accepted their insight with regard to Sirat al-Mustaqim, right? If they pointed to the people and said, look, this is Sirat al-Mustaqim, the people would trust them. The people would believe them, right? Because they have this ability to forecast things to come. So they travel that road, and they recommend that road to be followed by others. Alhamdulillah. So the picture that we're trying to create here is individuals who could read scripture and be influenced, you know, to understand what was developing, even though it had not yet developed, all right? And they can avoid those mayhems by doing so. So the scripture records a time when those who had not performed that well in the journey to the human destiny, we have them as an example, dear people. Those who have disregarded the better mode of travel, and they're known as the companions of the fire. They're known as the companion of the fire. And who will make a requisition, they made requisition to the occupants of the garden. Right? Yeah. They call out to the members of the garden. They said, the ones who exercise caution in the best mode of travel, those are the companions, the occupants of the garden. They have to see this in the better light than what the physical word suggests, right? Yeah, they do, and we do too. In order to do that, we have to look at what these words are really saying to us. For starters, let's take a look at companions of the fire, who are contemporaries of each other. Really? Who are the companions of the fire? I would say they are those who had no concern about the social environment that dominated the society. They had no real concerns about that. The only real concern that they would display is if they cannot achieve the means of sensation from the environment that they chose, then they would have a problem. In fact, they preferred that way because of what it promised them. When you become a people or society who seek a passionate desire and an appetite for what the flames of the fire dictates, then you will at any cost allow for the flames to prevail because that is your appetite. And they respect the preference of the appetite. Yes. Whereas the occupants of the garden are basically the opposite. They appreciate, well, the occupants of the garden, they have a greater appreciation for the life in the society that reflects more of this consciousness of the presence of God, right? The appetites are the appetites of God's pleasure, right? Of God's pleasure.
right? The things that drive them, they want those things that are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will make them pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They implore their human will for the pleasure of God. Those are the companions of the garden. Yes. Comparatively speaking, they both seek to obey the environment they're in. But it is those who are in the fire that realize their benefits are not equal to the benefits of those who are in the garden state. In the garden state, or the state of the garden, right? And we hope to specify a little bit more what we mean by that. They call out to the occupants of the garden with the hope to enjoy the benefits of the garden. The companions of the fire did that, and they're still doing that. They want their cake and eat it too. They want the benefits of being in the garden state without being in the garden state, if you understand what I'm saying. They don't want to embrace what gives them the garden state. They want the benefits of the garden state. You can't have it both ways. No. In the sales arena, there's a saying that you can have either your price or your conditions, but you can't have both. You can have one or the other. So, how can that be a justice for the one who have faithfully applied themselves, for the ones who have faithfully applied themselves for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can that be a justice? I've done what God has asked me to do for my results. And how would it be just to me if you are not required to do so, but can have the benefit of what I've achieved? Allah would be unjust. You must know that the garden state, the people, is a state of productivity. It's a state of productivity. This is the place where the farmer is at his or her best. Yes. And this is what we're called to. Many of us may not realize that, but this is what we're called to. We're called to our productivity. Right? We are called to our productivity. They know how to make the implantation. Right? Yes, they know how to make the implantation, so that it will come up as a produce, a product of your work to please God, who has favored your circumstances. Yes, Allah has favored your circumstances, and he will cause your implantation to come up. And you know, as we said last week, Allah, he says that it is him who has produced you from the earth. But we talked about what that earth is. And we're not saying anything different here today. So those who were being destroyed by their own insane behaviors, one of the benefits of what came from the water. Yeah, they yell out to those who were in the garden state, pour down on us some of your water. We want some of your water. Yeah. And I think that you understand in the metaphysical language now that is, well, it's practically difficult to produce or to grow anything without water per se, or without it having the ability to extract water from the atmosphere. I think you realize that. They did not want the water itself, dear people. Let's be clear about that. What they wanted instead was the benefit of what the water produces. They know their society is out of order. But if you bring them water, morality, or moral responsibility, it will destroy them. It will destroy them because they have worked so hard to imbalance the society. They worked so hard to create immorality. That's their prey. And unchecked behavior, that's their prey. So they want the benefit of what the water produces poured out upon them, an orderly society, a responsible society, and whatever else of good Allah has provided them. And it is Allah who has forbidden and prevented the good from him to reach the disbelievers. Yes. So Allah, he says, الَّذِينَ أَتَّخَذُوا أَدِنَاهُمْ لَخْوًا وَلِعِيبًا وَخَيْرَتَهُمْ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا فَالْيَوْمِ الْنَنْسَاهُ كَمَا نَسُوا لِقَائِهِ يومهم حدا وما كانوا بآياتنا يجحدون. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has thoroughly spoken the truth. In translation, such as took their religion to be mere amusement and play and were deceived by the life of the world, that day shall we forget them as they forgot the meaning of this day of theirs, and as they were wont to reject our sign. So in today's society, dear people, this is problem number one. That is how religion has come to be recognized. Religion as a whole is not viewed favorably nowadays. The genuine significance of religion has been lost. It has become lahwan, which is an amusement or entertainment. Yes, people will go to the gospel concert for the same reason others will go to an R&B concert or a rap concert. For the same reason, entertainment, for the reason of entertainment. In fact, they will go to the church, the synagogue, and the masjid seeking a degree of entertainment. And I'll tell you, some of them imams and preachers and rabbis, they can put on, and priests and what have you, they can put on some entertainment, man. Oh, yeah, they can put on some entertainment. And they throw that music on you, and they have you doing the buck, the hip, the leg, everything. Entertainment. So the other description given here is laida, which is a plaything, right? A plaything. Oh, this is just for my fun, man. I don't take this serious. You know, this is just pastime. Come on, man. you can't take her playthings seriously. You can't. It's a plaything. How you gonna take it serious? How you gonna be serious? That is not seen as your purpose. It's just to pass time. It is something you use to fit your situation of conveniency. If your religion is a plaything, then so is your God. Oh, yeah, you can't have no, you know, no real position about that, man. Come on, dude. And because of their lackluster view of religion, they don't take it to heart. It's just merely a social expression in the social arena. There is no consequences for its rejection. That's their thinking. That's their environment that they create. That is where we are right now in this day and time in America. The world has deceived them to turn away from God. And I'm telling you, they're turning away at record numbers in ways that most of us are not following, because that's not really an issue with us. But there are others who are following this trend because they have a destination in which they need to reach for the benefit of those who are manipulating the ignorant. Oh, they have a mechanism that they can use to extract good sense out of you. Trust me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you remember me, I will remember you. And this turning has not been a great spectacle in terms of visualization or concern as much as it has been something that quietly come upon the world, given the amount of disrespect and rejection of God from the misrepresentation of religion or the understanding thereof. This is not accidental, is what I'm saying. From the branch of science called psychology or social psychology, which deals with the mythologies of how people are influenced to conform to ideas, perspectives, and behaviors, and see no wrong with it. See nothing wrong with it. Social psychology measures that episode in the history, it records it, and allow them to better understand what influences a human being. Yeah. When we look at America in its inception and we look at her now, it becomes very clear to what have happened when the early settlers of the nation, of this nation, were God-conscious people. Not all of them, but the original settlers who came for religious reason, religious freedom. Nowadays, they don't come to America for that reason or for the reason of religious freedom anymore. In fact, it is more likely for them to come here and discard religion. You know, just take religion and throw it in the trash. It is reminiscent, dear people, of a time where Allah would not favorably remember a people because they disremembered their meeting with him. This is just fiction, you know. It doesn't really, it's not really true. It's not really true. That's not really going to happen. There's no meeting with God. None of this stuff. This is just to put people in a certain mind. So they reject God and they reject the avenues that leads to God. It has over the time become something of no value or concern to the people. So they've modified religion to look like something else. They modified the purpose in religion to be something else. So they lost the responsibility to remember God. Yeah, once you get in that condition, once you get in that mindset, once you get in that behavior, thereafter will come a time when you would disremember God. Yes. And your meeting that you will have with him. And in time, people will behave as if God was never a factor of concern. So Allah, he says, وَلَّقَدْ أَجِئْنَاهُمْ بِكِتَابٍ فَسَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى الْإِلْمِ أَهُدَى وَرَحْمَةً لِخُومِ الْيُؤْمِنُونَ. Certainly Allah has spoken the truth. For we have certainly sent unto them a book based on knowledge, which we explained in detail, a guide and a mercy to all who believe. Yes, the environment of the courtroom is set, dear people, for the judgment. The evidence has been collected and viewed by the jury. Yes, viewed by the jury. For who is right and entitled to a judgment in their favor? You or God? God in his testimony affirmed that he came to you with a book wherein he explained it all in detail, how to access the best life with knowledge, guidance, and mercy. He made it available for the person who believes and trusts in him. It only benefits you if you believe it and make it a practical part of your life. So the social dynamics, the people, have to reflect the times of what came down and is more believable, a believable act of trusting God's word. That is remembering God's word, holding tightly to the rope, so when the turbulence comes, you will not be disconnected. But you will feel the benefit of having held firmly to the rope comprising the words of God, and that his promise, dear people, is true, however he promised it, whether to your good or to your bad. His words are true. How well did you remember God, or how much did you forget him? Right? So we will come back and we will finish this up, inshallah. Rabbana zalamna anfusina wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Lord, we wronged our own souls, and if we're not forgiven and shown mercy, surely we will be among those who have lost. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما بعد. And that is with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is his servant. and everything of excellence, the prayers and the peace be upon him. All right. I'm going to try to finish this up and make this salat, inshallah. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to us in his Quran, أَدَلِكَ الْمَبْلُغُوهُمْ مِنْ إِلْمٍ إِنَّ رَبِّكَ الْهُوَ الْأَعْلَمُوهُ بِمَنْ دَلَّلْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَالْهُوَ الْأَعْلَمُوهُ بِمَنِهِ تَلَى. Surely Allah has spoken the truth. And the translation is, that is as far as knowledge will reach them. Verily, the Lord knows best those who stray from his path, and he knows best those who receive guidance. You know, so we come here, you know, from week to week, and we talk as if there is nothing good about the world. Sounds it. We are. But that's not the statement that we're making. That's not our presentation. There's a lot of good in the world. There's a lot of good effort in the world. But that's just it. You know, there are those who are destroying the world and dressing it with their bad. And there are those of us who are trying to preserve the world and dressing it with its good. All right? So this is the conflict that we have. I'm not one to want to sit on the sideline and watch others destroy this world. I'm not one that wants to do that. I think what Allah has given us is a wonderful opportunity to experience life on this side. And I think that we're obligated to do all that we can to protect what God has given us. That is the truth of knowledge that has reached them and reached us. That is, if they remember Allah, he will remember them. All right? If we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will remember us. And to forget Allah is to forget ourselves. That is known to those who believe and trust Allah. Allah is very much aware of those who hold this information sacred and those who pretend to hold it sacred. Allah is not an idiot. In any degree of deviation, he knows it. Right? He knows who takes it as an amusement or plaything. And he knows those who are serious. So, you can't take Allah's pattern for human life and alter it and think that he does not see your departure by way of your alteration, or by way of your modification, only because something else appears to be a better show of entertainment, amusement for you. So Allah, he says to us in his Quran, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي سَمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَلِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى. صدق الله العظيم. And Allah again has certainly spoken the truth. Yes. To Allah belong all that is in the heavens and on earth, so that he rewards those who do evil according to their deeds, and he rewards those who do good with what is best. The knowledge has reached them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled his promise as he said he would. Those who hold firm in the rope are those who are connected to God in a way that they do not forget him, and he does not forget them. My beloved friends, hold tightly the rope of Allah Azza wa Jalla and never let it go. Holding tightly the rope of Allah can mean quite a few things. but I believe it means just what it says. That which connects you to God, hold on to it very tightly. As the world seeks to seduce you, to let it go. They say, man, take a deep breath and just let it all go. But I say differently. I say take a deep breath and let it all go except the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rope of Allah or the hand of Allah, they both can express the same idea. That which ties you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that which will save you and protect you. The hand of Allah is the power of Allah which is above the heavens and the earth. He will preserve your good and reward you with more good. And again, Allah, he says in his Quran, he says, Alladina yajtanibun kabir illa kabir ismil wal fawahisha illil al-laman inna rabbika wa is'ul ma dafir huwa al-ahlamu bikum id anshaqum min al-ardi wal id an antum ajnatum fi butuni umahatikum فلا تنزاكم أنفسكم هو العالم بمن الطاق. صدق الله العظيم. Allah has spoken the truth. Those who avoid great sins and shameful deeds only falling into small faults, verily thy Lord is ample in forgiveness. He knows you well when he brings you out of the earth and when you are hidden in your mother's womb. Therefore, justify not yourselves. He knows best who it is that guards against evil. Yes, God is addressing the one who seeks to hold on to the rope. That is the one who consciously avoids the major sins and the nasty, wicked, shameful things. What can be more sinful, nasty, and shameful than denying God? Denying God. Turning loose the rope. What can be more sinful than that? Turning loose the rope that keeps you connected to your Lord. But if your intentions are good, while you fall short in the minor deeds, Allah can divert what comes from that mistake or fault as a forgivable. Your Lord has a great capacity. Your Lord has a great capacity of forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew much about you when he produced you or brought you forth from the earth. This is true biologically, and it is true metaphysically. It is Allah al-Khaliq that created the system that caused material matter to form. And at the same time, it is him who calls us to form out of our metaphysical earth, who is our mother in all of its derivatives. He knows, dear people, what the earth produces as our mothers, what they store in their wombs. So, never ever should we attempt to justify any act that prompts us or invites us to turn loose the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, has intended for us. He knows best what to extend, as he, Allah, is the best knower of what he has produced. So he says in the Quran, أَفَرْعَاتَ الَّذِي تَوَلَّى. Do you see one who turned back? Do you see that one, whether in the past or in the present? Do you see the one who turns back? Right? He's addressing those in the past, and he's addressing those right now. That is the same one who turned loose the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, Mu'allim, he instructs us to go forth, whether heavily or lightly equipped, go forth to Allah with what you have or wherever you are. Never doubt your Lord and his ability to aid your good efforts. Never despair or lose hope of the good in your pursuit. So Allah, he says, لَخَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِذِكْرِهِ لِذِكْرِهِ فَحَلْ مِنْ مُتَقِيرٍ. Allah has spoken the truth. And we have indeed made the Quran easy to understand and remember. Then is there any that will receive admonition? My beloved brothers and sisters, Allah says it is him who has made easy this Quran to understand, and he has also made it easy to remember. The other way to proceed this is that he has made it easy to read. He has made it easy to read. Remember we were talking about the seers early in the conversation, the seers, those who could look into the matters of things and understand better or anticipate better what was to come. Yes. So what they were doing is that they were reading the matter. They were reading the matters. To understand a thing will facilitate being able to read it. And reading it will facilitate understanding it. Isn't that how it works? Allah has made one to make easy the other. The object is to remember what you're reading or perhaps reciting. The word mutakhir is translated here as admonition, a warning. But really, it is more meaningful as remember, to recall a thing. Mudakir, one who recalls a thing, one who can read a thing, one who remembers a thing, right? So Allah has made the Quran easy to understand and remember. Now, is there anyone who will remember? Are we remembering Allah? Are there any of us that are sincere enough, that are brave enough, that we will remember Allah? Huh? Remember what? Who is it that remembers the excellent script for human life? Who is it? The one who seeks to remember is the one who does not want to let go of the rope. The one who remembers is not exclusively the one individual, but humanity as a whole. The one who remembers Allah, Allah will remember him or them. Allah has made the Quran easy to remember so that you can remember Allah much to ensure he remembers you. Rabbana, Rabbana, la tazuki kulubana ba'da hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmata innaka antal wahhab. Allah lana our hearts deviate.
After our guidance, and grant us from your presence mercy. For surely you are the most liberal of all the granters.
Unmuted.
Alhamdulillah. Igama tesara.
This session is no longer being recorded.
You got my test to lie?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya lal salat, hayya lal salat. Hayya lal salat, hayya lal salat. Could come into salat, could come into salat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to make two rakat of Salat al-Jumma Farb. MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawm al-Din. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كل أي الكافرون لأعبدوا ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين الله أكبر سامي الله لمحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
الدعاء Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we witness your oneness in the prophethood of Muhammad the last. We seek your mercy, we seek your protection, we seek your guidance, we seek forgiveness for our sins, we seek your help. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength, and we thank you for the good and the excellence that you have bestowed upon us. It is you alone that we surrender ourselves to in obedience. It is you alone that we trust with our lives. So continue to give to us loved ones, family members, and offsprings who will consciously and willingly come to this place of surrender, now and far into the future. And, O Allah, we ask that you plant firmly our feet on this path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, and let us die not unless we are Muslim. And again, Allah, it is you that we seek to remember much. So remember us, Allah, as we remember you. Ameen.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
تكبير.
الله أكبر.
تكبير.
الله أكبر.
تكبير.
الله أكبر.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Okay, so we'll make the 2 rakat sunnah and come back, inshallah.
Dear listeners, for those who are making their 2 sunnah rakah, that just concluded the delivery of the khutbah or the, from the khatib, Imam Abdul Tawi Aziz of Tampa Bay area, with the Tampa Bay Area Muslim Association. For those who may want to make some comments, but it is a part of the Jumu'ah presentation that at the end you can share if you choose. Please press 1. And if you do have comments to share, then we will open your mic and you'll be connected with the audience that will go with Imam Abdul Tawi Aziz. They will hear you. After a few moments, then we will continue on with sharing.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
I hope I didn't run everybody away, so we're going to open the mics and make the floor available for those of you who have comments in addition to
All right, everyone, you want to press 1 on your phone if you have any comments you want to share. All right.
Please feel free. Floor is open and the mic is available.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
And we will go right on to Imam Wasim Muhammad's presentation for today. All right? Alhamdulillah. All right. For today, everyone, I know much has been spoken on education, and I guess we can't hear it too much, but this is going to be brain power for those who have heard this before. And while there's a toss between brain power and organizing resources for a productive community, what I'm looking at, but I think we'll go with organizing resources for a productive community. That's about 50 minutes in sharing. Thank you for being here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And for those who are listening by way of the computer, at 3:30 is when it will close out from the internet. So if you want to join us here in the studio, it will be your dialing would be 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Please plan to join us tonight with the community developmental stages at 7 p.m. and then at 8 p.m. community buzz. Have you heard? We'd like to hear what is happening in your area. You can share that now or later at 8 p.m. tonight. We welcome everyone to please share your information. And as we are all striving, praise be to Almighty God. All right. It's been a pleasure being your host for, this is my month to share your Jumu'ah. Inshallah, the next 2 weeks, next 2 Fridays, we hope to have Imam Musa Ali of Mount Vernon, New York, with Masjid Shabazz, as they're going through changing of address. And he'll be able to share that with us as well, all right? That will be next Friday, inshallah, and the following Friday. So that will be the 18th and the 25th. We look forward to your being with us then. And shop God's willing, right now we'll go to the resources. The organizing of resources for a productive community. We bring to you now Imam Warris Dean Mohammed.
The following lecture, titled Organizing Our Resources for Productive Community Life, was recorded on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Tuesday, July the 22nd, 1998. The lecturer is Imam W. D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. And now, Imam Muhammad. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. As we say in Islam, peace be unto you, assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the one and only Lord and keeper of this universe, whatever is in the skies and whatever is in the earth, made by him, and he keeps the order of everything, and he is only God, and he is the only God. There is no other God except the one that made all this beautiful world above our heads and all around us possible for us, made us, the human beings, a special creation with potential above all the other creatures that he made. We are able to do things that no other thing in the creation is able to do, and that is change our life to suit ourselves, make choices, independent, free choices. We can be what Allah wanted us to be. We can be what the God wants us to be. Or we can change our mind and say, hey, I don't like what I am. I'm not going to be what God made me to be. I'm going to be something different. So God gave us the freedom because we're so special. Gave us the freedom to choose to be even something he doesn't want us to be. God knows that most of us will soon get tired of doing something that's not best for us, and we will come back to what he wants. And the world sometimes looks like it's lost, and there's no way to get people to think sanely, or to think sensibly, or to think righteousness, or to think obedience to God. And all of a sudden, something happens in the world, and things begin to change, and pretty soon we are looking at that bad time as a time that has passed. And believe me, in the 70s, I was really worried. I was troubled by the way people were behaving, even by the way the establishment was behaving. I thought the establishment, the newspapers, the media, the magazines, the major magazines, the TV, the television, Hollywood, I thought these media instruments, these mass media instruments, were really feeding disobedience, encouraging disobedience. Disobedience to God, disrespect for God, disrespect for sacred things. I felt the media had a big hand in that, and I was so angry and I was so uptight that I just wanted to scream. I saw a movie once, and the fellow in the movie, he said, "Stop the world, I want to get off." And I'm telling you, when he said that, I cheered. I did two claps in the movie because I felt the same way. I felt that the world was no good for me anymore. I wanted to stop. I wanted to get off this world, be separated from this world. And all of a sudden, these people start changing for the better. And that's the time we're living in now. We're living in a time when respect for God is back. Respect for parents is back. Respect for human life is back. These things are back now, and this is a good time to be living in. This is a good time to say, yes, we thank God for life. We thank God for all the possibilities that we enjoy in this life. It's time for Muslims to say, yes, we thank God. We thank God for our religion. We thank God for our holy book, the Quran. We thank God for Muhammad the prophet, who was on this earth preaching to human beings when no one else would turn his people around, turn them away from idol worship, turn them away from shameful behavior in the main areas of the town. They would go in the center of the town. They would go in the heart of the town. They would go right in the heart of the town, what we call downtown. And they would go there and march around the Kaaba, a house, a sacred house, in the nude. And the society was accepting that they behaved that way. They were marching around the sacred house naked. And that was imposed upon them by the wealthy people. The wealthy people say, The poor people, you have to go around it naked. We wear clothes, you have to go naked. So it was a very, very bad time for good behavior. And Muhammad the Prophet was chosen. So Muslims, you should be happy to say, we thank Allah for Islam. We thank Allah for the Quran, our holy book. We thank Allah for Muhammad the Prophet that broke that ugly time and changed the trends in the time of dark Arabia, ignorant Arabia, and made it possible for us to have Islam. God's mercy to us, Muhammad the Prophet, and his mercy to all the world. And we should be proud of that, that God says of Muhammad, he's not just for Muslims, he's a mercy to all people. He's a mercy to all the world. And that God said of our sacred place in Mecca that we look to and we pray to there, we pray toward that place, it's our center, our direction in prayer, and we make pilgrimage there once a year if we can afford to. We go there and I'm planning to make a minor visit called Umrah very soon. I'll make Umrah there, inshallah. We make the visit to that sacred house and we circle that, go around in a circle, circling that sacred house and complete the rituals there. And we feel great about that. But we have to understand that God says of that house, of that little simple sacred house, God said that it was built for all people, not just for Muslims. That it was built for all mankind. It, as a symbol, holding great meanings for all human beings on this earth, it was built for all mankind, for all people. So Muslims, we can't be so selfish that we live Islamic life without any recognition or any awareness that we have to live a life not only for Muslims, but a life for other people too, for our Christian neighbors, for non-Muslims. We have to live so our life is a contribution to all people, a good contribution to all good people. That's how we have to live. Muhammad the Prophet said, to support what I just said to you, I mean, giving you the words of our Prophet, Muhammad. Muhammad said, the best of you is the one who benefits all people, whose life and works benefit all people, who is most helpful to the people. That's the one who's the best of you, according to Muhammad the Prophet. If you want it in Arabic, I'll give it to you in the words that he said. He spoke not English. خيركم من ينفع الناس. خيركم من ينفع الناس. The best of you is the one who is helpful to all people, whose life and works benefits all people. So we witness that God is God and he's the one, and there is no God with him and no God other than God. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed better than 1400 years ago, is the last of the prophets mentioned in the Bible, in the Old and New Testament. He is, according to the teachings of our holy book, the Quran, he's mentioned in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the Bible, and we witness that he is a mercy to all people. Rahmatan linnas, mercy to all the people. We witness that he is the seal of the prophets, according to the teachings of our holy book, that he is the seal of the prophets. He is the last of the prophets and the seal of the prophets. May prayers and peace be upon him. Amen. As you say, amen. We are going to have a question period where you ask questions, direct questions to me, according to what you have heard. If you have some questions about it, ask me questions. Now, that's why I'm here. I'm here to talk to you and have you ask questions, but direct your questions to what I'm saying or to what I have said. And please try to remember correctly what I have said before you give me the question. Be sure you are asking a question with a knowledge of exactly what I said. So many times people come up and they say, you said that. I say, said what? I never heard that before. And they listen to me and still get up and say, you said, I say, hey, I never heard that before. So be sure you know what I say and remember what I say exactly as I said it, and then ask your question about it. Now, if you want to ask a question about something outside of this talk and outside of this visit, I will accept that, but I expect you to ask questions directed to what I have said or to what I'm saying, and not the Muslim world or the Muslim community of America or Imam Dabideen Muhammad, what he did last year or 50 years ago. I don't expect questions like that. But if you have to ask a question like that, I will try to answer it. I'll try to do my best to answer it. Now, what is this concern that we have for Muslims or for people, not just Muslims, for people organizing their resources so that we will have more productive communities? The future of the world, the way things are moving, the way the world is moving, tells us that citizens everywhere, not just here in Milwaukee or in Chicago where I come from, but everywhere in the world, citizens are going to have to accept more responsibility for their lives and for the life of the community that they live in. That's the way the world is going. And I believe that's in accord with what is in Scripture, both Quran and Bible, both the book, Holy Book of Muslims, the Quran, or Quran as they say in English, and the Bible, tells us that a time is coming when individuals are going to have to accept more responsibility for themselves. Language that you recognize as Christians, the Bible says, every tub shall sit on his own bottom. Everyone shall have his own vine and fig tree. So this is the Bible, and in our holy book, God says, no bearer of a burden can bear the burden of another. In other words, your burden is your responsibility. I may help you, but your burden is still your responsibility. And by me helping you does not excuse you from your responsibility. So you have somebody who's lazy. They won't wake up at 7 o'clock, and they know they're supposed to get up at 7 o'clock and get ready to go to work and be to work at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. And you volunteer to see that that person is awake and help them push them onto the washroom and help them get out that door. Well, in the world, you help that person be successful. But when it comes to judgment day, when all of us are going to have to answer before God, that is not going to excuse that person. God is going to say, that credit goes to the person who woke your lazy up every morning at 7 o'clock and pushed you to the washroom. That credit goes to them. Where's your credit? And if you don't have any credit, you know you're not going to get the great blessing of paradise, according to the teachings of both books, Bible and Quran. Yes. So how are we going to survive now in this world that's coming, and it's already on us, really, that's asking more of us, that we be responsible for more in our own life and in our neighborhoods or in our communities? How are we going to prepare for it? I think we should prepare for it the same way that all other great efforts were made to improve the life of community and to improve the life of individuals in community. Those efforts was made by organizing the resources of the people and bringing people together who have similar resources, similar concerns, similar sensitivities, bring them together. We have to learn the example of Muhammad the Prophet and prophets before him, like Jesus Christ, peace be upon them, who selected certain people, and those people became their close acquaintance. Those people became their close friends. Those persons were selected out of the many people to be their companions, to help them in their life and in their life work. Well, all of us have to do that. That's human nature. When I was a boy, there were some boys I wanted to be with more than I wanted to be with other boys. So I ended up with two or three friends that were my very close friends that I went out with almost every day. I saw them every day. We came very, very close. I know their names right now. Their names in my mind right now. So clearly, because that's how close we were. Yes. So all of us have to do that. But we have to do that not only in the name of pleasure or in the name of fun. We have to do that in the name of survival and progress. Survival and progress. In the name of survival and progress, each of us should say, who makes the best company for me? Who has sensitivities like mine? Who thinks like I think? And if we start mixing like that, but if you're not selective, and that's the greatest power God has given us, the power to make choices, independent choices, to use our reasoning, to use our rational mind and make independent choices for the better. So we have to select these people that we're going to have as our buddies and our friend. I'm not telling you to put down your friend that you've been friends with for 10 years. That's your business. But if I was you, if I were you, and if I was going to look at friends, my friends, and say, now who's more like me in his sensitivities? Who feels about things the way I feel about things? The good, bad, ugly, beautiful, life, death, pain, pleasure. Who feels like I do about these things? And if that one who's been my friend for 10 years, I found out that he doesn't feel the way I feel about things, and he doesn't seem to be going in the direction that I want to go in, I would have to put an X on him. Now, I ain't talking about Malcolm X. I'm talking about just the X means out, crossed out. I'd have to cross him out. I can't go. I can't go with you now. The world is asking for us to accept responsibility. The future depends on me accepting more responsibility in my life. I want a condition so I can make progress. The best condition for progress is when you have the best environment for progress. You don't have a good environment for progress when you got people working with you and playing with you and living with you every day, occupying your time from morning until night. You're spending your time with them and they pulling in one direction and you pulling in another. You never make any progress because you're in the company of people who always want to go left and you want to go right. You have to change that. You have to select friends to survive and make progress. And we have to select workers to survive and make progress. We who have responsibility for work in the community or for work in our home, we have to organize the home, and then partner up with those who feel more like you feel, in the home, in the family. That's what families are supposed to do. You may have five brothers and four sisters, all 10 are not going to agree, all 10 are not going to be the same, but there'll be a partner in that family for every one of you. I've never seen a family where somebody didn't have nobody to partner up with, if they wanted to partner up with somebody. In my family, I had my brother, Herbert, and I had my brother, Elijah Jr., and I had my little brother, Akbar, that I partnered up with. I could partner up with any of those three. The rest of them, they were so far away from me, I couldn't communicate that very well with them. But with those three, I could communicate, and we partnered up. So we always can find good partners for survival and progress. We have to organize our resources. What resources? The first resource that you have is your human feelings. That's your good resources. To have good human sensitivities, to have good, sensible, sane human feelings. That's a great resource. Great resource. Believe me, that resource keeps you out of a lot of trouble. That great resource keeps you from suffering a lot of losses. So if you have good sensitivities, if you have good feelings, then treasure that. You're a good person. And you should be with good people. And you should be partnering up with good people. That's a great resource. But you're also brilliant. You're bright. You're intelligent. You make C's and no F's. That's good. You thought I was going to say A's, huh? You make C's and no F's. That's good. I know a great president of the United States, maybe one of the most productive presidents of these United States. They say that president's grade average was a C. Not B, not A, a C. But he turned out to be a terrific guy. Sometimes the school environment doesn't bring out everything that's in you. So a student will be making a D or a C or an A or B or, what, or B or something, and they probably could do much better in a different situation. So always it is not the grades you made in school that really tell what possibilities are you, what you were qualified for or what possibilities you could have. Not always the right criteria. So he was a C and a very great president, a very, very productive president, outstanding among presidents of these United States. Now, I heard that of John Johnson, President Johnson. No, not John Johnson, correction. Johnson, President Johnson, who died. Lyndon Baines Johnson. I didn't have that on note. I'm so used to trying to talk without. I better bring something out here to look at. Yes, Lyndon Baines Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson. That's who I'm talking about. I read that Lyndon Baines Johnson was a C average student, but a better than an A average president. We all have to live together. The world has been made all over again. Walls have come down that separated religious communities from each other. Walls have come down that separated nations from each other. We have to live with each other. That means we can't plan without the other people in mind. If I'm going to plan for my future in America, I can't plan without having the others who are planning their future in mind. So Muslims, we want to plan our future in these United States. We want to plan to really develop as a community in Milwaukee, in Racine, in Chicago, in every city where we are populated, where we have some population there. We want to plan to grow in these cities, and we can't have our plan on the table with also having in that plan respect for the plan of the church people and the synagogue people and others in religion. They're planning too. So we have to plan knowing that they're planning too, and we have to meet with them and get acquainted with them so we can know to the best of our ability. We want to know what are they planning so that we will know how can we complement that plan. How can we be a complement to that plan? How can we be helped and not harmed? And we want them to be aware of the things that we share with them in common so that maybe they feel the same way that we feel. We want them to look at what we're doing and say, how can we complement what the Muslims are doing? How can we be a help to the Muslims' plan for their future community life and not a hurt? Then we should be organizing the resources. The people who have the school, elementary school, high school or whatever, as their interest, they have made a career, they're teachers, they're going to be teachers all their lives. They should find teachers like themselves with feelings like they have, with an interest in the students like they have. They should find those teachers, and they should work with the people that they have closeness with, closeness, who they're closest to in their feelings and in their aspirations, their feelings and what they want to see for education. They should get with those people and work with those people, combine their resources, organize their resources to make a better contribution to education. We should do this in education. We should do it in business. We're asking that our business people not only work for business for the individual and business for the family, you have to do that. But we want some people who want to do more than that. We want some people who accept responsibility in bigger circles. We want some people who want to see their contribution in business not only benefit themselves and their family, but we want to see people who want to see their contributions benefit the city, benefit Milwaukee, benefit the neighborhood they live in. They want to see more business life in the neighborhood they live in. We want those people to get together and collect and join together like people with like people. People of like sensitivities with people of like sensitivity. People of like aspirations with people of similar aspirations or like aspirations. Get together, combine your resources, and plan to make this life in community a better life. This is what we want to see. And I believe this is the demand of the future. This is the way the future is going to be. This is what the future is asking for. Present and future, future even more. This is what God wants. God wants that. God has not created any of us to be so selfish, to have a good thing, to have it good for ourselves and not care about our neighbors. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said, the Muslim who goes to bed with his stomach satisfied, knowing his neighbor's hungry, is not one of the believers, not one of the Muslims. So he didn't say, but your neighbor has to be a Muslim. Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, I repeat. He said, if anyone goes to bed with his stomach satisfied and he knows his neighbor is hungry, he's not a Muslim. You're not supposed to go to bed. You're supposed to go find some food and give to that neighbor next door. And the neighbor doesn't have to be a Muslim. The neighbor could be a Christian. So this is the way of God, not just the way of the world, or with the trend of the new world. This is a trend that God wants. And God has brought this about. God created us to have the behavior we have, to have the nature, the behavioral nature that we have. And when wrong punishes this behavioral nature, this behavioral nature says, I've had enough. Pretty soon their behavioral nature is going to say, I had enough. I may be the first one to say, I had enough. You may be the first one to say, I had enough. An old man might be the first one to say, I had enough of this world that is going against reason and going against morality and going against God. It might be an old man say that. It might be a teenager that says that. It might be a little child that says that first. But God has made us to say we've had enough when things get too far out of line. So let us think about that and know that God has made each of us very special creation, human beings. There's nothing that I'd rather be than a human being. If God would say to me after learning my place in this world from Scripture, if God would say, well, Wallace, it's not too late. Would you like to be a special angel in the heavens? I'd say, God, will I still be a human too? God says, no, just an angel. No, thank you. I thank you for what you made me, human. And I want to organize my life upon the human pattern that you made. Upon the human pattern that you made, God. And I want to make the best of it. And I want to work with people who share my feelings and my aspirations. Combine resources and make a better place for us to live in. The home, the block, the neighborhood, the city, the world. Thank you. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Thank God. I would like to thank our Imam for that lecture and for the talk to us. I hope we all benefited from it. That was the lecture portion of the event today. We would like to go into our question and answering period. We did pass out 5x7 cards for people to write their questions down. If anyone has any questions, they can write their questions on the card. First question here we'll read. Question is, what are your views on education in our Muslim schools here in Milwaukee?
I'm not from Milwaukee, so I can't have any particular opinions about the education in the Muslim schools in Milwaukee. But I do know that Milwaukee has always, the Muslims of Milwaukee have always been, I would say, committed to have Muslim school, Muslim education for their children, to have Islamic teachings for their children, Arabic language, which is the language of our holy book, for their children. And recently, there has been an effort to strengthen or improve the school in Milwaukee. Sister Basima Shahid, the wife of Brother Imam Ronald Shahid, has been asked to come here to Milwaukee to be the principal of the school, of the elementary school. She accepted. She has been the principal there. And she's working with others who are supporting the school to better the educational, the Islamic curriculum, the Islamic curriculum for the school. So I don't have any knowledge of any problem, except a need for more people with resources, with education skills to join their effort. We need volunteers. Education is very expensive. A poor community. We are not wealthy sheikhs from Kuwait, from the Gulf states. We are not wealthy people. We are poor people from the ghettos of the United States. So we don't have finances to finance our needs in education. Like others who come here from those wealthy areas of the world, they can finance and we can't. They can finance their needs, and we can't. So we have to ask for volunteer help. We pay some help. We have to ask for some volunteer help. So I know one of the concerns would be that those who have education, training, and skills and desire to see improvement for the Muslim schools in Milwaukee, we would like for you to identify yourself and come forward so you can volunteer. If no more than an hour a week or a day a week, volunteer sometime to help make our school a better school. I say that in the name of our school here and in the name of the principal, Sister Basima, because I'm sure that she welcomes that and she's looking for that kind of help. Yes. Yes, if you could.
Okay, the next question here. How can children help better the community?
Be better children. Same thing for adults. How can adults help the community? Be better adults. We need better adults and we need better children. And one thing I say to the children, I know that I'm almost 65. I'll be 65 soon in this year. And the child in me has never gone away. And I think that's true for everybody. Sometimes I wake up and the child in me is in my mind and on my mind and shaping my thoughts. The child in me. So I would say to you, no matter how young you are, if you know this world is not a good world, good enough for human beings, if you know that your life and your family and your neighborhood is not good enough for human beings, then use your good senses. Qualify yourself. If you have a desire to make things better, have the courage to go on and follow that desire and find a way to qualify yourself so that we'll have a better leader in that neighborhood with your manhood than we had with the manhood of those before you. So that's what I would say to the youngsters. Don't be afraid to look at our world and criticize it, to look what we have done with it and criticize it and hope that you will make a contribution better so that people will have a better life in the neighborhoods and a better world. And remember this also, none of us can carry the world on our backs. We have to have others to help us. Know that you are going to need much help and you're going to have to influence the leadership. You're going to have to impress the newspapers, the media. You're going to have to win friends to your cause, but be brave and have the courage to want to make a better world than the one that you lived in yourself, or the one that you're living in yourself. That's how the world gets better. I was a young man and I saw the Temple of Islam. They call it the Temple of Islam, and I looked at it and I said, according to what I'm hearing from my father, it's not what it should be. And that's what made me stand up and be a minister. I became a minister just because of that, because I looked at my father's congregation and I said, according to what I'm hearing from him, this congregation is not what it should be. And I was a young man. I was a teenager when I said that.
The next question here is a two-part question. The first question is, I have a hard time always believing in God. What should I do? The second part is, I question whether a book can be a revelation from God. How do you believe in a holy book?
All right. Well, let me say this. Sound like you are reading some pages out of my life story. Because I looked at the God, the way that they were telling me God was, and I wasn't satisfied with it. And I questioned God. I'm going to share this with you. I think all of us want to believe in God. I don't believe God created any human being without a soul, that deep in that soul there's a desire to want to believe in God and want to obey God. But what is your idea of God? What is God to you? The world that I was born in was called the Black Muslims, or the Temple of Islam.
And they gave me the idea of God. And I looked at it and I said, if that's God, then I don't want it. I didn't do it all of a sudden, but in time I thought about it and thought about it. As I got older, I didn't like it. So I said, if that's God, if God's going to do these things, if that's the way God behaves, I said, now that's the only God I knew, so I had to speak to that God that I knew. I said, God, if that's your behavior, that's your judgment, if that's the way you are, then I don't want that, I don't like that, I don't want you. I said, when you bring me in your court, I'm going to bring charges against you. That's what I said to God. Now, I'm sharing this. This is something that's hard for me to share with a public audience like this, you know. But I'm sharing that with you. That's what I said, because I wanted to believe in God. I said, well, if that's God, when you bring me in your court, I'm going to have charges to make against you. So that person who's writing that, you keep seeking. You keep questioning. That's what I say to you. Keep questioning. You don't believe, don't believe. Don't believe until you feel comfortable to believe. Don't believe in the scripture. Don't believe in God until you feel in your soul comfortable to believe in that. That's my advice to you.
Next question. At what age or point in your life did you realize that you had to take total responsibility for yourself, family, and community?
I don't know. I can't recall the exact time in my life when that happened. Seemed like it was yesterday. Now, when I say, see, when you say total responsibility, now that's a big part. That's too big. Total responsibility. No, I accept responsibility for my behavior. I accept responsibility for my thoughts and for my behavior. That's what I accept responsibility for. I can't accept responsibility for my family. I can do my best for my family. I accept responsibility to do my best for my family. But to say that I accept responsibility for the state of my family, that I'm going to accept responsibility to keep my family healthy, to keep them happy, to keep them sane, to keep them clean, to keep them active, that's too much for me. We all have to accept that responsibility. They have to accept responsibility for themselves too. So I accept responsibility within limits. I accept the responsibility for my family, given that they are also going to be decent enough to accept responsibility for themselves and want to share the responsibility that we all have to accept for our family. Yeah. And that goes for the community and anything else. No, I have a limit on how much I can carry. And I expect that my members of my family will respect that and try to do their best too.
Can we as Muslims accept or go to the banking institutions, etc., to get money, loans, with the obligation upon getting the loan, paying interest, or is interest prohibited?
Well, let me first tell you what I've experienced. If you want to go to the bank to get a loan, you better have some collateral. You better have some what they call equity. Yeah, if you don't have something worth money already, you got to show them. If you don't have dollars, you have to show them, I have a brand new Porsche, I have a brand new Jaguar, I have a home without a mortgage on it. I haven't taken out a mortgage on it. If you can't show them you have money, they're not going to loan you money. That's number one. Now, as far as avoiding the banking system problems with the banking system, avoiding having to get interest, interest compounded, to avoid that, let's get behind the program we got. If you're in this community, we got a business effort going nationwide. Let's get with that business effort, and we can put our monies together, we can invest our monies together, and we can escape the problem of rebate working together as business people.
In greatest respect, what does it mean to be a Muslim? What is the difference between a Muslim and a Christian?
Well, the difference between a Muslim and a Christian, number one, is that Muslims say there is but one God, and Jesus Christ, peace be upon the Prophet, is not the Son of God, but the creation of the special creation of God. That's the big difference. The next big difference is the Christians follow Scripture revealed 2,000 years ago, written by apostles on the life of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. Muslims follow the Quran revealed about 14 centuries ago to Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him. These are the major differences. I could keep pointing out to you major differences, but when it comes to what we believe in essentially what you believe in. We believe in God, we believe in God's angels, we believe in the revelations that come from, that came from God to his messengers and prophets. We believe in the prophets and messengers and the books and the revealed books. We believe in the day of judgment. We believe in the Qadr of God, that God has ordered this world to give us the benefits that we want if we approach it correctly, and to give us harm if we approach it incorrectly. We believe in all these things. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We believe that everything has to account before God one day. So these are your beliefs too. These are Muslims' beliefs, and these are your beliefs. So I wish someone had asked, what are the similarities for Christians and Muslims? It would have been a much nicer question, but thank you anyway. That question has to be answered too. What are the differences? I gave you the main differences.
What specific ways can people share resources to improve economic conditions?
Specific ways to share resources to enjoy
economic conditions.
To enjoy better economic conditions. What is the best way to do that? We don't have enough time to really do that question justice. I would simply say, be decent human beings by each other. God has already created us with a human soul and human nature to know when we are not being decent by each other. Be decent by each other and want to see bigger work in the world, more help in the world. If you do that, you're going to join your small efforts so that your small efforts become a big effort. That's what we are doing.
What should be our roles as Muslims, as humans, regarding environmental issues such as projected global warming due to human activities?
Global warming?
Yes, sir.
You mean like the 90s that we're having? Yes. Now, look like those cars are growing. I think they're supposed to decreasing, and look like they're increasing. Are you pulling some off one of the rug or somewhere there? Yes. We're going to have to bring this to a close very soon. Now, global warming. I'm glad you asked the question. I want to tell you something that I have observed. If these automobiles that we like to ride in had never been made, I wouldn't have to sit in an oven 130 to 140 degrees hot until it cools off. So the cost of the invention of an automobile, we sit in these hot automobiles that we go and we're sitting in the sun, it's hot, it's just like an oven. We open the door and open both sides, let the heat out and have to close the door. You can't drive with the four doors open, so you have to close the doors. I close the doors and get in there and oven. I feel the oven. I turn the switch quickly, air conditioning and all, it's blowing, and I'm waiting for it to cool down a little bit. And I thought about that. Look at this invention. Look, this invention has created a situation here where I have to expose myself to these high temperatures often in the day. But what is happening?
the high temperature that we're exposing ourselves to in these automobiles is conditioning us to survive global warming. That's God's mercy. I believe God is ahead of us in everything that happens. God is always ahead of us. So God is getting us prepared for global warming. I don't see global warming as a doomsday. I see global warming as God's mercy. This cold Milwaukee is one day going to be warmer. Some other state that has been warm is going to be cooler. Chicago is going to be warmer. Some other state that's been hot, in Arizona somewhere, it's going to be cooler. God has to rotate his mercy, as the scriptures say. He rotates his mercy. So don't be frightened by these scientists. Some of them are stone crazy. They're batty as batty and then a bat. Some of them. So don't be worried about their predictions. Believe in God, and that whatever God allows to happen, ultimately, it's going to work for the good of mankind.
Okay, we'll end off with two more questions here. This question says, what does Muhammad got to do with God?
What does Muhammad has to do with God? Now, I'm going to take that personal. My name is Muhammad. What do I have to do with God? I have to obey God. I have to obey God. That's what I have to do with God. Obey God. Respect God. Am I important to God? I'm nothing. I'm a little nothing. And God has given me such respect among people. God has given me such a respect as a human creation in Scripture. God has put a great value on me. And I'm nothing. When I look at God, look at myself, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. What do I have to do with God? Nothing. Not important. I'm not important. But God has made me important. God says, "Qad karamna kulli bani Adam." God certainly gave respect and honor to every human child from Adam, descended from Adam.
We are seeking to construct our schools in a more natural fashion than it is now. Would you say a gradual approach is better or a complete change, say, over a summer?
Well, we have to study the need. Study the need, know the need, and know what we have to offer as solutions. And then once we know that, once we know the need and what we have to answer the need, sometimes that says, go at it and go at it speedily. And sometimes what we see will say, take gradual steps. Don't go too fast with it. So I can't say go fast or slow. The situation, once you know it, will tell you whether to go fast or slow.
Okay, and those are all the questions that we'll take. We'd like to thank, once again, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir. Allahu Akbar.
Let me make one final comment.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your brave questions.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.
Done. Okay, dear listeners, we thank you for being here with us, and we pray that you enjoy what you heard from Imam Warsdeen Muhammad, Rahim Allahule, for a productive community, the resources. He shared so much. But please join us tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's right here for Community Developmental Stages and Community Buzz. And I'm thankful to be the host for this evening. And then tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with Imam Kareem Hamid with Evolution of Revolutionary Thought and Creative Purpose, where we will hear Imam again. And based on what we hear, we share and we present how it is influencing and how it influences our everyday life, what he's sharing. And then at 10 a.m., Imam Delacy Umar Phillips and his recurring guest, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, and then Imam Michael Hameen as well, as they present Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, again, dealing with sources, resources, in order to have a productive community life. At 5 p.m., none other than Dipreetha Hadi, and that is Al-Islam in Focus. There you have, oh, and at 11 a.m., excuse me, we're beginning to connect with a new day for Al-Islam for cultural insights with our dear brother William Kareem from A New Day for Al-Islam. We're merging in with his presentation. He actually starts at 10 a.m., but because we're on from 10 to 11 with Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, then we will merge with A New Day for Al-Islam at 11 a.m., inshallah. That is if Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty doesn't go over. Whatever time they complete their presentation, then we will merge in for cultural insight with Kareem Hamid for A New Day for Al-Islam. And that, well, we just thank you for being here today. Do like us on Facebook. Tweet us on, and that's Twitter. Tweet us, that's at CWSHURAA. And if you have any comments you'd like to share with us, please dial 910-317-0297. And you can email us with your comments as well. And that's comments or complaints. We take it all. It's all constructive, right? So please send email us. That's info@cwsc.us, as in Sam. Always go to our website. That's cwsc.us. Thank you once again. This is the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. American Muslim 360, one of the intelligentsia, the flagship intelligentsia of the community-wide Shura Conference. All right, we're going to share some music. We're just going to go right to You've Got to Be Thankful. Let's see here, one moment, everyone. I will remind you that it's everybody's business. We're going right to You've Got to Be Thankful.
Early in the morning, seeing a friend, Devin's fresh fruit coffee as I stumble down the stairs. Tiptoe by the bedroom where my children sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls to keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, and off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I'm gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day.
But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends I've left forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He said, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and I think my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright. You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors. And I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere. And our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for their family. But they gotta be alright. They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful. They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
All right, all that Almighty God has blessed us with. Do have a blessed evening, everyone. God willing, we'll see you at 7 p.m. right here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360.